This year, set a self-improvement goal. Like socially dominating your friends with your superior streaming knowledge. Catch up on the hits you missed with Prime Video. From Reacher to Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour extended version. And The Hunger Games, the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Watch everything included on Prime. Rent or buy new releases. Add on hundreds of streamers. One app, one password. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership not required to rent or buy. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hello, I'm Heather Barnes, food and product photographer and storyteller behind the lens. Our Austin-based team is all about visual solutions. For your brand, it's essential for your product to be memorable and have stickiness. Our clients like Ghirardelli, Tiff's Treats, and Notamoo choose our photography to develop positive associations with their brand. They call our work inspiring because it moves consumers into a relationship with their company. And we can do the same for you. Learn more today at heatherbarnes.com, focused on you, your story, and your success with memorable photography garnished with love.
And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. This program is brought to you by Heather Barnes Media, as well as Play Audio. And we thank those sponsors for their longstanding support of this network. We have a very special guest on today. I've been looking forward to this. He is Eric Javerbaum, CEO of Erico Communications. We have been a fan of Eric's for a long time. And for lots of reasons, of which you will hear today. He is the author of Public Relations for Dummies, Leadership Secrets of the World's Most Successful CEOs, and the list goes on and on and on. We're going to talk a little bit about an ongoing topic that we have here on Success Made Last, and it's about flex work and hybrid workforce and all those great things. And then on the back half of the show, we're going to dive deep into this 42-year public relations veteran and ask him some great questions that I've always wanted to ask him. So, Eric, welcome to this program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan of yours, too. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Yes, sir. And I want you to give us the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Tell us about your career and even start with where you're from originally.
I grew up in Pennsylvania. I started my first agency, which I sold about 20 years ago. I started it in D.C., and shortly, the idea always was if we were successful enough, we'd come to New York City, and we were successful quick, and we opened up offices in New York. I've been in New York City for over four decades. I used to run a traditional PR agency. When I sold it, it was the fourth ranked agency in the country to work for, which I took great pride in, and I went to work for Wall Street. Wall Street was a little bit different than being, you know, a rock and roll entrepreneur who likes to wear sneakers to work every day, which is literally why I started my first company. I stuck around for a little while, worked on the transition team between the Bush and Obama administration, and started the agency that I'm running now. You know, I also write books. I've written seven. I'm working on my eighth right now. And I was a television pundit for a very long time after I left the White House. Well, I've had an interesting career, but honestly, it's not when you talk, you know, and I talk to so many people who work for me and people that I mentor, it's not work. I love what I do. That is absolutely genuine. I don't feel like I've ever worked in my life. And if you can find something that you love, it's a much better path to take, and you'll probably be significantly better at it.
That's right. That with the punctuation on significance, that's the reason why you're on today. You have wit and wisdom to share with us. And let's start with this first topic about flex work options. CBS Sunday Morning reports that the majority of people that have worked at home now are rebelling about going back to the office. And the report got down to two words, personal autonomy. And if you listen longer into that report, it was down to, I don't want anyone else setting the thermostat for me. Stop thinking you can control me. And you and I, over the course of our respective careers, have been, I wouldn't call it slaves, but you went to the office. And,
yes, I did.
And you were a part of that. So let's start with your commentary on the major shift that took place during COVID, and is there any reverse to that?
Interesting about the thermostat. My first company, I had 100 people every single day lined up outside my office because they wanted the thermostat turned down or turned up. And I used to joke when I sold the company that that was one of two reasons that I was going to be happy not to own a company anymore. I wouldn't be president in charge of, you know, climate control. Yeah, look, the times, we've had dramatic, you know, shifts. The pandemic changed everything. I felt very fortunate at the time. This is forever, for 40 years. We always had, and it's not a my agency, you know, phenomenon. It was a New York City sort of way of work. We had summer Fridays. And summer Fridays in the good old days were, if you finished all your work, you could leave halfway through the day on Friday and go wherever you were going for the weekend.
Right.
You know, as technology was growing up, well, summer Fridays for me, you know, as an employer, I mean, my entire career, I've been an employer. Summer Fridays became, you know, in my agency pre-pandemic, you had to come, you had to be in the office 3 days a week. Many 3 days you want, we don't care. And basically, if you do your job, there will never be any questions asked. And you got your laptop and you got your cell phone. So when the pandemic happened and everybody had to go home, and we did, we were, you know, kind of uniquely prepared for it with technology that we were already using. We could be, you know, virtual. We could do that. We didn't, not only did we not lose the client, we grew. And people got used to that. There's no more commuting. You know, there's no more, you work in your pajamas if you want. The proliferation of Zoom and, you know, people getting together that way. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, you know, my entire career, I look at my staff in demographics, you know, 20 to 30, the beginning of their career, 30 to 40, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, you know, when we're getting into the adult category. And, you know, the way that they work, the way that they dress, their work ethic, what they're used to. And you have a whole new generation who went home for a couple years. Now, this isn't everybody. In my place, it was, and I believe in my industry, they went home. They didn't have to commute anymore. And they made as much money, if not more. They found they could do their jobs efficiently. And I do think that there's some industries that can do that. And they liked it better. So, or, you know, good luck trying to bring them back to work. But that it does, you know, runs into the entire topic of everybody's mental well-being and what's best for them. How great is it to be in, you know, physical proximity, to, you know, be at the, you know, the water cooler, to just pop into somebody's office, to collaborate without, you know, it being scheduled on Zoom? What's the benefit of that? One, to the efficiency of the organization, which is, you know, in some industries debatable. And two, but for people's heads, what happens when we're not together anymore? And, you know, that is the part that I worry about. And I do think that it's taken its toll. I do think that, you know, isolation isn't a great idea. But I also think that if you can figure out a way to make that work in some sort of a hybrid way, you get the best of all worlds. And by the way, the irony is, if you don't buy that theory and you're going to make your people come back to work, I mean, look at what you're seeing. Companies are saying, nah, you got to come back. And the kids, or not even the kids, whatever they do, they're saying, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm not coming. I'll take a pass on my job. It's like, you'll take a pass on your job? But that's what they're saying. People don't want to come back. So in the industries that can make it work, you know, great. But, you know, don't forget about people's, you know, mental health. It matters. And it's a whole different set of, you know, criteria to stay mentally healthy in an environment where you aren't going to work anymore. I do think that the notion of the Monday to Friday 9-to-5 workplace is never coming back again.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you just described almost a Venn diagram of overlapping issues: mental health, loneliness, lack of leadership, building culture. And inside of that is this other statistic that you and I and the rest of our listeners know about very well, and that's 600,000 to 700,000 people are going to drop out of corporate America, hang up their own shingle, and try to build their new culture. And so what is your suggestion coming to grips with reality of, if you're going to build a new culture and you want it to be collaborative and you want your imprint on it and your leadership, yet you'll have people in Buffalo and San Francisco and in Austin on your team that you'll never personally see? And what's your suggestion about imprinting culture?
Well, I think my business model is a little bit unique. So it may be apples to oranges. I mean, the way that we're set up, and look, I've been around for a long time. People know who I am. I mean, I've been writing books forever. My agencies have been around forever. I have very big clients. People come to me. I get to pick and choose. We pick and choose based on passion, 100%. If we're not passionate about it, we're not doing it, which means any team that's assigned a new piece of business, they have to literally be doing cartwheels about, yeah, I want to work on that. Or we just don't take it, which makes everything, I would say significantly easier. But it would be, I think it's been of great value my entire career that I've been able to mentor so many people, that people have been able to be with me in person. I'm not God's gift to, PR or anything. I just have a lot of experience, and it's been successful experience, and it's my attitude is contagious. I mean, I do love what I do, and I encourage people, if you don't, find something else. Definitely. Work is too hard if you don't love it. Find
That's
something
right.
you love, or it's going to be a long career of just making money to pay the rent. But you do have to, we like in my place, we do events. And during the pandemic years, we were very involved in helping to open a project called Summit at One Vanderbilt. It was a brand new building in Manhattan. It was an enormous project. The space itself is now the most Instagrammable space in the world. And because of that, we had to be out a lot. We were there a lot. We saw each other a lot. And in the same breath that I'm saying we saw each other so much, I also had closed both my East Coast and my West Coast offices. I did that pretty swiftly. And I have no intention of reopening them. And look, as an employer, you want to drop, rent to the bottom line that you no longer have to pay. Suddenly, like, if I was successful before, I'm like double successful. I have no rent. I have no offices. I have big spaces on both coasts. I don't have to fly back and forth anymore. It's good for the business model, but what about people's heads? If there's not a way, this was not, I didn't see this in the beginning, but I could feel it as we were going along, the isolation preys on people. And, it's like the frog in boiling water. You don't notice it, until you're boiling. You have to pay close attention to that. And you need to make sure that there's some way that people will actually have real FaceTime in the real world on a somewhat of a regular basis. Otherwise, it's going to be tough to keep a staff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is a very good imprint for all these new executives out there that are pursuing ownership of their own. So I like that. I want you to talk a little bit.
That's a rough transition, by the way. I mean, my whole life, I started, I'm a kid, and I wasn't joking when we opened. I just wanted to wear sneakers to work. I didn't want to wear a suit and tie. Ironically, I know listeners can't see me right now. I got a jacket on. I just wanted to wear sneakers to work. I didn't want to work for IBM. My friends that went to work for IBM, they were making, a lot of money, and I wasn't. I was barely, being able to pay the bar bill every month sort of thing when I was a kid. the skill set that you develop as an entrepreneur, you know, I categorize it in three ways. You're an entrepreneur. You can rub two sticks together and you know, make forest fires up from scratch. The lucky sperm club who goes into, you know, family businesses, and the corporate executives. And, you know, I would say more of my friends than not were in corporate America. They were making a lot of money when we were younger. It seemed like they had total security. And me, I'm swimming with the sharks every single solitary month as a kid in my 20s. And I learned how to do that. And I remember it was really striking after September 11th, and corporate America was laying off a lot of people then. And my friends who were, you know, they were executive vice presidents, senior, whatever they were, commanding big salaries, had big titles, they lose their jobs. And we're adults now, and they got to figure out, okay, so how do I make money? It's a whole different mindset to be on the outside. I was never when my agency got bought, I was working, I was one of five managing partners at a Wall Street holding company. I was miserable. The first day after the sale of my company and I'm going into my new office, I walked in. It's like, wow, this is fancy. I got a fancy office. I have thousands of people working for me. I personally have money. Like, couldn't get any better than this. By the end of the first month, I was miserable. It just wasn't, corporate America was not a good environment for me. Yep. Being an outsider, it was always better for me. The older you get, the more challenging making that transition is.
Without a doubt. It's interesting that you say that a skill set is from either being an entrepreneur, lucky sperm club, or corporate executives. I think there's some common skill sets that could overlap all three of those. One is, sometimes you're a born collaborator. Sometimes you're super creative like you. Sometimes you're empathetic. So maybe you pick up some of those skill sets regardless of your plight. But I think your point about transitioning over is tough, because if you were transitioning from Procter & Gamble to be an entrepreneur and all of a sudden you didn't have the income or cash flow from Tide or Pampers, or $70 billion, and you have to make payroll.
Yeah.
That's when you're facing your entrepreneurial maker.
Yeah. And by the way, look, my agency does extremely well, but that mentality is with me forever. It's, you know, I don't have years of payrolls in the bank. I got to go out and make, you know.
That's right.
You know, finance, accounting reports directly to me. I'm in charge of all that. And when I'm a kid starting a business, I can't even keep a checkbook. So how do you evolve? And if you're going to run your own business, you better know how to keep a checkbook. And I'm oversimplifying what grew up to be very complicated, you know, finance. And it's not something I love what I do. I wouldn't say my accounting meetings are a blast. I'm not doing cartwheels in accounting. But it's also, you know, if you adjust to your environment so that you can be successful and efficient, and most importantly, enjoy it. The goal for me, it was never money. I mean, and you know, it sounds so cliche because the money will follow, but if you're doing something that you love and you're having fun, that was the goal for me. I wanted to enjoy my day. I didn't want to, you know, punch in at 9 and clock out. If I don't want that kind of a life, I wanted a totally different life. And, you know, when I was younger, we're talking like late 70s, early 80s. It wasn't the norm. People got jobs. Most of my friends, most, not all. I mean, some are fabulously successful, but they got corporate jobs. There was stability. You got health insurance. You had a retirement account. You went to your job. 10 years later, you were about 1,000, or I would have been. I got to make it up as I went along. And one of the things that I learned through the process was, I could do that. We could really. There was no mountain high enough, and I knew this. You know, 25 years ago, it doesn't matter. Show me what's impossible. I'm doing it. And I've been doing that my whole career. So to sit in a room with an impossible goal, you know, laid in front of you is one way of looking at it. I never looked at it that way. It was always going to be doable to me. And lo and behold, in the end, it didn't matter what it was, I always prevailed. And I can rely on that now. I know that I know it'll work out. I'll make it that way. I always do. And that is, you know, that's a mindset that I built over the course of 40 years.
I just love that. I knew that you were going to be sharing some wisdom, but that is way beyond. So, okay, Eric, we're going to take a quick commercial. Tell our listeners where they can contact you and learn more about your company.
Well, I have the worst last name in the history of trying to find somebody on Google. So don't even forget Yaverbaum. My agency is also, it's very hard to spell. Find one of my books. I'll suggest PR for Dummies so you can find my name. Then you can find me anywhere you want on the internet. I'm all over the place every single solitary week. My company's name is Erico Communications. You'll spell it wrong when you're looking for it. Find my name. You'll be able to find me. I made it that way. I'm easy to find.
That is great. We will be right back after this quick commercial message and be talking again with our special guest, Eric Yaverbaum.
Finding a therapist who accepts your insurance can be hard. That's why Alma is making it easier to find someone in network. They help therapists accept insurance so that more people can access affordable mental health care. In fact, people who use their insurance for sessions through Alma save an average of 77% on the cost of therapy. When you browse their online directory, you'll see thousands of mental health care professionals who offer both virtual and in-person sessions. Just select your insurance plan to filter by coverage, then use other qualities like specialty and area of concern to narrow down your search. And if you're not sure what your plan covers, Alma can help with that too. Their free cost estimator tool makes it easy to understand your benefits and see what sessions will cost before you schedule your first appointment. Book a free consultation with a therapist today at helloalma.com/therapy60. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Oh, bummer. The holidays are over. But yay, your weird relatives left. But no more presents. But yay, you have your freedom again. But there are no more desserts. But there's also no more holiday music, huh? Yeah! The new year is full of ups and downs. But however you're feeling, you can always be happy with all the content on Prime Video. Catch the new season of Reacher, included with Prime.
Why'd you hit him so hard?
I don't hit soft.
Rent or buy new releases like The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. You can even add on hundreds of streamers, all in one app with one password. No bummers here, just lots of yay. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership not required to rent or buy. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hi, this is Carla from Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards. We are Texas Aggies, but base our publishing headquarters in Austin, Texas. I want to let you in on a little secret about greeting cards and the people that write them. We really have a sense of humor, and we love to encourage others. We talk like we write, with a few words that matter the most, and we try to avoid cliches. You will enjoy sending these popular cards that feature eagles and hummingbirds from Alabama's Larry Martin, along with some of the prettiest flowers. Each unique card says something witty and inspiring. What's different about us? It's our incredible artists, combined with the passion translation. Here's an example of how the passion inspires. You have supercharged my life so that I can soar again like a flying eagle in the sky, from Psalm 103. We publish greeting cards in convenient 12 packs. It's like having a card shop in your own home. So every time you need a card, you have them handy. So visit gracefully-yours.com to buy greeting cards where art and message connect to your heart.
And we're back with Eric. I'm going to follow up with one question, and then we're going to get into the deeper philosophical stuff of the day, as if we weren't already. You just reminded me of why I love people of significance because they've graduated from the chasing down of success, and they're almost like jazz musicians, that there is something about them that they make it up as they go along. They're great at improvising. And I want you just to tell our listening audience, the ones that are kind of stuck in the rut, who don't know how to improvise in their work or life or as jazz musicians, why they should think about being that way.
Oh, it's just so, it's fun. It's gratifying. And the thing about it is, and I love the kids that work for me to get on some project that they start with from scratch and it turns into vitamin water. You know, like when I was a kid, like I use vitamin water as an example, which Coca-Cola bought for $1 billion. When I started with vitamin water, I'm in Darius Bickoff. He was the guy who started vitamin water. Driving around in his Datsun, we can't close the trunk of the car. We're using a bungee cord. We got all the vitamin water in the trunk. We're just going from one market to the next, just trying to get them to put it in the store so we can try to promote it. And I'm saying to Darius, like, is there really vitamins in this? Like, it's red water. Is this real? Like, I don't know. What do I know? Being involved, and I'm just giving one. I have an example every single solitary year, bar none, of my 42-year career, where I took something like that and turned it into something. And by the way, not just me. I'm just I have a role. To me, everything is metaphorically, you know, parallel to sports. I'm a point guard in basketball. I still play. I direct the floor. Not the best player on the on the court. Not the best shooter on the court.
But you direct it.
But I can direct the offense. I can run a team. So the teams, without exception, every success I've ever had a great team. I played my role. I was good in my role. But to be involved in something from inception, from somebody having an idea, the first time I ever made a lot of money was involved with a company was called FindWhat.com. FindWhat, crazy guys who are still my friends, and I still do work with them. They have this idea for internet search. This is before Google, and that they're going to log every single solitary word on the internet. This is my first meeting with them. I'm like, okay, that sounds a little bit. Never heard of this before. Google bought them. I mean, you know, I was a shareholder in that company. To think about the first meeting, to Google purchasing, and it's not even, forget about the money that we made because Google bought them. The idea, nobody ever had it before. Nobody ever thought about that before. So you could walk into a meeting like that and say, that's not happening. And by the way, I've done that a few times, and I've been wrong, definitely. I have a pretty good track record as I've gotten older at picking the winners. But to have the experience of knowing there's nothing that's impossible, nothing, literally nothing. You can do it. But it's not something that I want to sell to anybody. You got to believe in that. You believe in it, goes a long, long way. And the gratification that I get for the things that I've done in my career, for the people that I've influenced, you know, everything that I would ever say or brag or whatever it is that I do as a PR practitioner on a daily basis has nothing to do with money, nothing. It's all the people's lives that I've affected profoundly, the things that I've taken from scratch and turned them into, you know, multinational, you know, global, you know, companies. The gratification that I get of being able to give the gift of what my career has been to me. I don't do anything that is nearly as fun as running my company in my life. It's just, it's a blast. I get up in the morning and say, like, are you gonna pay me for this today? Like, I get paid to do this. Is this even fair? I get to do this. I get to go to Super Bowls. I get to do all sorts of cool stuff and they pay me for it. Like, okay. But you know, anybody, you know, unless you get stuck on a track when you're younger and you're just too fearful of leaving it, you know, you got a mortgage, you got two kids, you got to put through college, you know, got some medical all of the things that'll have, you know, there's so many obstacles. That's the thing about obstacles in life. Everybody's looking for the path that has no obstacles. There's no path that has no obstacles. Obstacles are the path.
That's right.
And part of life is managing expectations. If you expect obstacles, I promise you won't be disappointed. You're probably going to have one today.
That's so great. Okay, so you are in the heart of talking about significance because you just mentioned that it's about others and not about you. And I'm going to give you what we consider to be the definition of significance, and then I want you to comment on it. Okay. And I'll start by saying this. This has come after 45 years in corporate life. But I would also say there's a dozen years there of owning my own business. And so what this means to us now is that it's using your wisdom and your life experiences to help others, but without any expectation of any return.
Yeah. Well, to me, and look, I've been saying this for long before anybody ever called me wise. The goal is inner peace. That's the goal. Everything else is a detail. I got inner peace. I mean, greater that I can pay the rent, but I got inner peace. What a great way to go through the day. Like here's the thing about all of us, every single solitary person listening. We're all one. We will all die. We're all going to the same place in the end. The longer that we have here, the better, in my opinion. Today, just as an example, just today, there's 86,400 seconds today. 86,400. How many of them do you want? How many of them do you want to be present for? How many of them do you not want to miss? I'm maxing out on my moments. 86,400 every single solitary day for as many years as I get. What could be better? We all are the same that way. We're all going to die in the end. We all get the same amount of moments. You pick what you want to do, you know, with them. And the thing about life is that because things go wrong for everybody, we're all going to have loss in our life. We're all going to have pain in our life. We're all going to have missteps in all of us, every one of us. The power is in the reaction. Everything that defines your life is in the way that you react to it. And if you can realize that, the challenge, you tell me what the worst day of your life was. I'll tell you why it was the best day of your life. That's the day that changed you. That's the day that because of whatever happened, things changed. It wasn't your worst day. And, you know, I would just say this about life. Everything's a matter of perspective. And you get to pick. Your entire world exists in between your ears, your world, not mine, yours. You decide how you pick. My only thing about decision making is when you, which is not my line. It's been said by many, many famous people before me. You come to a fork in the road, pick. Don't just stand there and wallow in your sorrow. Go right, go left, and then learn on whatever the path is. Touching fires is healthy. The lesser number of fires that you can touch, the better. But for every fire you touch, you will definitely learn. That's where all my lessons are from my failures. Success is really easy. Counting money is so easy. Conserving it isn't. Being recognized for your accomplishments is it's nice. I don't care so much about being recognized for my accomplishments as much as I care about how many other people can I influence in my lifetime to have as, you know, satisfying, gratifying as a life as I'm having. I think everybody should get one of these.
Yeah, that is a beautiful definition and rendition of significance. And I appreciate that so much.
Oh, thank you.
Space, the great cosmic expanse where man meets galaxy. And until now, the only way to see it was decades of intense astronaut training. But now, it's your chance to explore the edge of space with a lucky scratch. The Texas Lottery is giving you the chance to explore the stratosphere. Play $1 million Cash Blast scratch tickets and enter for a chance to win a luxury trip to to the edge of space. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
There are a couple of other topics I have to talk to you about today. And one of them is about epiphanies. And we've been studying epiphanies, and I want your opinion on, I'll ask this first. Tell me about your last epiphany, and then I want you to comment on, is it possible that we can speed up epiphanies?
Well, you know, gosh, I feel like I have an epiphany every day. I mean, but, you know, when COVID started, when the pandemic started, I had COVID very, I was bad. I was in bad shape. I was on oxygen. I was in bed for 90 days. Nobody knew, you know, nobody knew anything. We're all at home. I'm sick as hell. And I'm realizing how delicate life is. Hell, man, this particular, you know, hour with you, this is the best damn hour I am ever going to get right now. I'm not missing it. I'm right here with you. I was doing something before this interview. I got stuff to do after this interview. I'm neither of those places. I am here. It's the very best place to be. I learned that from being so, you know, from being so sick. And, you know, the older we get, you know, we lose people. When you lose people, painful as it is for everybody, you realize just how precious, you know, life is and how brief it is. You know, how much time do we have? So why would I miss this hour? I'm not. And I never do.
Why are you saying this to me? I lost one of my dearest personal mentors yesterday to a heart attack. And I walked into today's show devastated, Eric, about with the news. And it's like, get your act together. Al Shook would want you to look at tomorrow and be present. So it's like, oh my gosh, you're the manifestation of Al Shook, what he would have been saying to me today.
Well, it's, you know, I do think that because we've all had, you know, I mean, I'm 62 years old. We've all had those days. Sometimes you're prepared in theory, and sometimes it's just you get a phone call, and that's it. Everything is different now. It won't matter either way. I know I'm going to get those phone calls in my life. And, you know, it begs the question. Very influenced by my many years in California and having offices out there. And I said, I used to go to funerals and I would look at my grandmother, eight siblings, last one, you know, alive.
Yeah.
She buried every single one of her siblings, every single one of their spouses, you know, nephews, nieces, babies. I mean, go on and on. Survived two husbands. And I would look at her at a funeral and I would say, gosh, how does she do this? Because I knew the next day she would be back to herself. And I would think in my head, what's better? You want to be first or you want to be last? And I'm constantly, I mean, for decades, thinking like, what's better? And one of my friends in California said, you'll know the answer to that question. And it was just like that. It's like, oh, yeah, last, right? Last is the right answer. You know, we all have to endure, you know, heartache and pain. And the question is that, you know, it's not like, you know, look, everybody mourns differently. And I total respect to absolutely everybody in any way that they want to mourn, any way that they want. However, it doesn't mean not to be very, very aware. You just lost a friend. What would your friend want you to do today? Your friend would want you to be living today.
That's right.
And he can't. He doesn't have the option of telling you, but you have the option of telling other people. You still have. I mean, hope is a contagious. That is very, very contagious. I mean, I watched in 1969, Fred Rogers, before he was Mr. Rogers, before anybody knew who he was, PBS is a fledgling, you know, probably not going to make it network at the time, more or less operating out of a basement. Fred Rogers is testifying before Congress because they're trying to raise money for PBS, which he did. And, you know, one of the things that he said, it always struck me, it was and hit home hard during the pandemic, is that, you know, in times of trouble, look for the helpers. If you see the helpers, you'll know there's hope. Hope is priceless. And if you can have hope in any given day and somehow spread that around, because, you know, just like COVID was contagious, so is hope. So is a smile. You want to make somebody happy? Smile. For 1 second, it's contagious. All of this is. And for me, the whole notion of living and getting the most out of life, I'll only be getting the most out of life if I'm giving back, if I'm giving that to other people and somehow impacting their day. Maybe if for a minute or for an entire day. I will tell you that anybody who wants to join me and grab their 86,400 seconds today can. You're allowed. It's up to you. You don't have to be me. You can be you. Do the same thing. You be you. I'll be me. Me, I'm getting those moments. And I strongly suggest to anybody who's listening, you can too. Why wouldn't you? Try. Practice. Practice makes perfect.
And that's a message to our 8 billion today. That was my final question for you, but you've got it. I just wish that you would address the speed portion of that. Why can't we speed kindness and hope up?
You know, look, the world is the world's a challenging place right now.
Yes, it
is. Get up in the morning if you want and turn on any given, you know, war being televised in live time and be horrified. You know, the fog of war in the good old days used to be if you went, you served, you're on a battlefield, you're in a country where, you know, where war was going on, and I've been to some. Now you don't have to go anywhere. You just turn on your TV and you're literally seeing the most horrific thing. These are very, very challenging times. I don't think they're going to be getting less challenging. It doesn't mean that somehow I can't I'm a communicator for a living. Doesn't mean I can't use my skill set to try to help people to have a better day. It's not going to make the world perfect. The world's far from perfect. But the world, my world, it's the only one that I get. I'm going to make it the best I possibly can. And for me, this is me. Everybody's different. I make it the best it possibly can be by trying to give it to other people. I try to give other people the same exact. And so many people have said to me in life, this is personally and professionally, but I'm not you, Eric. You don't have to be me. Be you. That's who you should be. Mm-hmm. And take a shot at practicing this singular principle. Any given day, how many moments did you get? Did you get 20 today? Did you get 40? Did you get 1,000? Did you get 5,000? You got 86,400 available. How many did you get? Get the most.
There you go. Well, Eric, it's been a joy to have you on. And it was a moment of significance. These 60 some odd minutes out of 86,400 seconds in a given day. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us one more time your website where we can go. And
it's Erico Communications, ericho.com. And you can Google my name on purpose for 40 years. I made sure that if you Googled my name, you will read something about me this week that may or may not interest you, but I'm so easy to find on purpose.
That is great. Thanks again, Eric. And as we always say, first of all, listen to Eric again, because he's got some great wisdom regarding this. But we do wish you a successful life, but on your way to significance. Have a great week. To all my brand and marketing leaders out there, I want to let you in on a little something. Audio advertising is one of the most efficient ways to speak to your consumer. I mean, you hear me now, right? The best way to take advantage of audio is to find the right audio agency
who can help you navigate all the ins and outs of digital broadcast and podcast advertising. And I found the perfect partner for you, and that's Play Audio Agency. Say it with me, Play Audio Agency. Play offers services that cover advertising and communication, audio branding, podcasting, original brand music, and more. Let them deliver an audio strategy that drives a deeper emotional connection to your consumer while you sit back and do the things that you love, like listening to my podcast. Hey, find them at playaudioagency.com to harness the power of sound for your brand. That's Play, P-L-A-Y, audioagency.com to learn more.
Oh, bummer. The holidays are over. But yay, your weird relatives left. But no more presents. But yay, you have your freedom again. But there are no more desserts. But there's also no more holiday music, huh? Yeah! The new year is full of ups and downs. But however you're feeling, you can always be happy with all the content on Prime Video. Catch the new season of Reacher, included with Prime.
Why'd you hit him so hard?
I don't hit soft.
Rent or buy new releases like The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. You can even add on hundreds of streamers, all in one app with one password. No bummers here, just lots of yay. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership not required to rent or buy. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.